RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Cuban ambassador to Indonesia says Indonesia and Cuba have conducted cooperation in boxing and education. Indonesian government is to form dedicated body to promote Pancasila. Now the news in details. Indonesia and Cuba are two countries which have long established friendly relations and cooperation. Indonesia and Cuba have recorded cooperation in different sectors, among others in boxing and health education, two most current prominent fields. It was conveyed by Ambassador of Cuba to Indonesia, Nircia Castro Guevara, when commemorating the 57th Fidel Castro as the father of the Cuban Revolution at the Cuban Embassy in Jakarta on Monday, December 19.
For the moment, there are some example of cooperation. Some time back, we had here a boxing coach, a sport coach that trained the Indonesian boxing team. We have some students from Indonesia in Cuba studying medicine.
Guevara added, Indonesia and Cuba also have a fairly close relationship in various international organizations in which both countries are members of the organization. Both countries cooperate and support each other within the international organization. The Indonesian government will form a new dedicated body to promote the Pancasila state ideology, named the President Working Unit for Reinforcement of Pancasila Ideology, known as UKPPIP, in response to growing threats of radicalism and terrorism. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said in Jakarta on Monday, December 19, the new working unit will help President Joko Widodo to organize, harmonize, and control efforts from various states' institutions to promote Pancasila to the public. The new body will be nearly similar to the presidential's office that has same status, financial rights and facilities as a state minister. The body will address the implementation of nation's pluralistic Pancasila ideology in education institutions, ministries, state institutions, mass organizations and religious groups. The unit will involve many stakeholders including humanists, religious figures, artists, journalists, traditional leaders and communities in promoting the state ideology. West Nusa Tenggara Governor TGH Muhammad Zainul Majdi expressed his appreciation to Australian government support in a ceremony as part of the province's 58th anniversary on Monday, December 19 in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. The Australian government has provided 17.2 million Australian dollars grant during the period of 2013-2016 to the West Nusa Tenggara provincial government as part of the province's successful implementation of the DFAT-supported Provincial Road Improvement Maintenance Project, PRIM. The occasion was marked by handing over a dump truck, asphalt machine and compactor, both using Australian incentive grants to West Nusa Tenggara PRIM. Provincial Road Improvement Maintenance Projects is a program to change the way that local government units manage their road maintenance function by improving knowledge of network conditions through surveys, careful planning of works using specialist software to provide best value for money over the long term, and properly implementing road maintenance works across the whole network. The project has also led to improved community engagement and interest in monitoring and reporting road and traffic issues to relevant government stakeholders through the Revitalized Road Traffic and Transport Forum. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The governor of Bank Indonesia, Agus Martowardoyo, said on Monday, December 19 in Jakarta, that the issuance of new editions of the Rupiah, featuring pictures of 12 national heroes, contain five meanings. Firstly, the government put the phrase of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia on the Rupiah as a symbol of the sovereignty of Indonesia. Secondly, he remarked on the use of the Rupiah as the sole currencies of payment instrument in Indonesia and in line with the spirit of nationalism. Thirdly, Bank Indonesia has the responsibility of publishing and circulating the Rupiah in an attempt to meet the country's needs. Fourthly, the Rupiah must be maintained by Indonesian people as the currency becomes a symbol of national sovereignty. Then the last one, Agus stated that the government featured national heroes and characteristic cultures of various regions in Indonesia on the Rupiah. Earlier, President Joko Widodo and the governor of Bank Indonesia have inaugurated the new editions of the Rupiah currencies featuring the pictures of 12 national heroes, traditional cultures, and Indonesian landscapes. The Asian Women's Circle of Jakarta, AWC, and Asian Secretariat visited Sekolah Alam Tunas Mulia Bantar Gebang on Monday, December 19, made a donation to the school through Tunas Mulia Foundation. The contribution raised by AWC through the Asian Food Festival in August 2016 included tables, chairs, cupboards, whiteboards, books, and sports equipment. The school is located in Bantar Gebang, the last garbage dump of Jakarta and nearby cities. Most of the students there help their parents as scavengers. During the visit, the Asian Women's Circle of Jakarta, AWC, also shared with the students information about ASEAN. Mrs. Ugi Pramono, the president of the AWC, ceremonially handed over the contribution and said AWC and ASEAN Secretariat are very thankful for the support they received from the community, which allowed them to be able to contribute to the school. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary entitling Concern on Alutsista. Indonesia is grieving again. The Air Force Hercules plane crashed in Wamena on Sunday, December 18, 2016, killing all crew and passengers. It is still fresh in memory what happened to the National Police aircraft M28 Skytruck, which lost contact and crashed Saturday, December 3, 2016, in South Lingga Waters, Riau Island Province. The plane was carrying 13 passengers, comprised of 5 crew members and 8 passengers. This year alone, there were 7 military aircraft crashes that killed members of military and police. These, of course, have caused serious concern on Indonesia's defense system, main equipment, or Alutsista. Indeed, defense equipment is an important part of the security and sovereignty of the nation and the state. It is time for Indonesia to improve its defense system, main equipment, or known as Alutsista in Indonesia. Ironically, the Hercules aircraft, which crashed in Wamena, is a used aircraft, a grant from Australia, and not the result of new aircraft purchase separately. Financial state should better highlight the strength of the military and police. Government and parliament today has been more focused on defense procurement. But apparently, due to the country's financial situation, this cannot be done optimally. For the public, a military aircraft accident for such a reason as bad weather conditions is sometimes difficult to understand. Or not the military equipment should be the best, with the classification of defense equipment to withstand anything in the battlefield, including the weather? But of course, anything could be the cause of an accident. From factors such as human error, the age of the plane, insufficient technology, to even extreme weather. When the government, along with the military and police, as well as the House of Representatives, choose weapon system, they should not make too many compromise and must adjust to current condition in order not to be left too far behind in technology. Of course, what to buy must be adapted to the characteristic of the area or region of the country. It is true that sometimes goods coming from grants or used items can later be upgraded into the good stuff,
In addition, of course, the price is much cheaper. Still, the content and the technology is outdated and may not correspond to the natural characteristics of Indonesia. Undoubtedly, sophisticated defense equipment will greatly affect the country's defense system, including the safety of personnel who use them. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. Let's begin with December 20, 1948, the Social Solidarity Day. The National Social Solidarity Day is to commemorate a historical event on December 20, 1948, when Indonesian Armed Forces, or TNI, along with the people, fought the Dutch troops just the day after the Dutch military aggression. The two worked together in an armed struggle to get rid of the Dutch colonialization. Sincere solidarity based on a sense of responsibility to the homeland grew strong enough to liberate the homeland from the clutches of the aggressor. Switch now to December 20, 1949, the Cabinet of the Republic of Indonesian State is constituted. The Cabinet of the Republic of Indonesia States, or RIS Cabinet, is a cabinet that was formed as a result of the formations of the Republic of Indonesia States after the recognition of the sovereignty by the Dutch colonial power. The cabinet lasted less than a year before Indonesia returned into the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. This cabinet was on duty from December 20, 1949 to 6 September 1950 in Jakarta. In 1999, Macau is handed over to China by Portugal. The transfer of sovereignty of Macau from the Portuguese Republic to the People's Republic of China, or PRC, occurred on 20 December 1999. Macau was settled and governed by Portuguese merchants in 1535 during the Ming Dynasty from 1368 to 1644 AD. Portugal's involvement in the region was formally recognized by the Qing in 1749. The Portuguese governor, emboldened by the First Opium War and the Treaty of Nanking, attempted to annex the territory, expelling Qing authorities in 1846, but was assassinated. After the Second Opium War, the Portuguese government, along with British representatives, signed the Sino-Portuguese Treaty of Peking that gave Portugal sovereignty over Macau on the condition that Portugal would cooperate with efforts to end the smuggling of opium. After the founding of the People's Republic of China in 1949 and the transfer of China's seat to the PRC at the United Nations in 1971, Foreign Minister Wang Hua appealed to the UN Special Committee on Decolonization to remove Macau and Hong Kong from its list of colonies, preferring bilateral negotiations ending in a return of the territory rather than an expected independence outcome. Four conferences from June 1986 to March 1987 resulted in the Sino-Portuguese Joint Declaration on 13 April 1987 and the transfer of sovereignty on December 1999. Macau is granted a high level of autonomy and the retention of its legal system by the Macau Basic Law. Listener, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinugraha. Thank you for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's Focus theme is Indonesia calls on ceasefire in Aleppo, Syria. The fall of Aleppo into the hands of the Syrian government left a lot of sadness. Residents of the city experience the trauma of war occurred almost every day. Seeing the conditions in the international community, including Indonesia, have showed their concern. Ministry of Foreign Affairs in a press release Sunday, December 18, 2016, revealed the government of Indonesia continues to follow developments in Aleppo and Indonesian citizens in Syria. The government is very worried about the worsening humanitarian situation in Aleppo. The conflict in Syria has claimed many victims among civilians, including women and children. For that reason, the Indonesian government called for an immediate ceasefire and requested that humanitarian assistance become a priority for all parties. Indonesia also pushed that full and unhindered access immediately to be given for the delivery of humanitarian aid to Syrian citizens in Aleppo and other Syrian regions, particularly for assistance by the United Nations and other international humanitarian organizations. Besides, the Indonesian government called for the process of peace talks, which are inclusive and non-sectarian between warring parties, immediately to begin again. The Indonesian government also pushed the UN Security Council to take concrete steps to achieve a ceasefire and cessation of violence, as well as in the settlement of the conflict in Syria that has lasted more than 5 years. Further on, Indonesia stressed the importance of the settlement of the conflict in Syria through talks and negotiations, as well as respects for such principles as human rights and the protection and respects for the sovereignty and territorial of Syria. Meanwhile, an international political observer of the University of Indonesia, Baginda Pakpakan, said the people of Indonesia can help residents in eastern Aleppo caught in conflict through International Red Cross. Pakpakan said, "What is occurring in Aleppo today is very complex because it involves many parties. So the main things you can do are in the limited humanitarian corridors that encourage a broader opportunity to ICRC to carry out its role. At the moment, the International Red Cross is deemed capable of bringing and helping civilians who remain in East Aleppo, newly occupied by the Syrian government, aided by Russia and its allies. It is expected that civilians in East Aleppo will be immediately moved to a safer place. The Red Cross is currently considered the most neutral to deliver assistance or medical aid to civilians trapped in the conflict situation in East Aleppo." According to Baginda Pakpakan, a solution to the conflict in Aleppo can only be resolved by sitting together between warring parties in the region. That was Focus for today. From RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, I'm Dee Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to News in Brief. The Indonesian government will form a new dedicated body to promote the Pancasila state ideology, named the President's Working Unit for Reinforcement of Pancasila Ideology, known as UKPPIP, in response to growing threats of radicalism and terrorism. West Nusa Tenggara Governor TGH Muhammad Zainul Majdi expressed his appreciation to Australian government support in the ceremony as part of the province's 58th anniversary on Monday, December 19, in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. The Governor of Bank Indonesia, Agus Martowardoyo, said on Monday, December 19 in Jakarta, that the issuance of new editions of the Rupiah, featuring pictures of 12 national heroes, contained 5 meanings. The Asian Women's Circle of Jakarta, AWC, and Asian Secretariat visited Sekolah Tunas Mulia Bantar Gebang on Monday, December 19, made a donation to the school through Tunas Mulia Foundation. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuko Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder.
a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Lombok is a small island in the Sunda Kecil Islands or Nusa Tenggara, which is separated by the Lombok Strait of Bali. Administratively, Lombok entered in the territory of West Nusa Tenggara Province. Besides Bali, Lombok became one of the favorite tourist destinations in Indonesia. This island is known for its beautiful beaches with stunning underwater nature. Interestingly, traveling to Lombok, you are not only enjoy the beautiful beaches. Lombok also has lemur forest tourism that offers coolness and freshness of nature. It is located in the Cempaka Hamlet, Suela Village, Suela Sub-District, East Lombok. Listener, Hutan Lemur or Lemur Forest is situated at an altitude of 700 meters above sea level and is a protected forest as well as the entrance of the Mount Rinjani National Geopark. It is approximately 89.20 hectares wide. To get to the forest area, you are required to pay a ticket of 5,000 rupiah per person. Entering the Hutan Lemur tourism area, you will be greeted with large trees towering and bird song. Here you can find various types of animals such as various birds, monkeys, lutung, lizard, wild boar, various types of snakes, and many other animal species. Besides the animals, there are also many types of fruit trees which can be consumed. People call it lempinyo, odak kates, and some others. Listener, in addition as a refreshing forest, within the protected area you also can find a fairly large springs with a water capacity of approximately 200 cubic meters per minute. Besides to meet clean water, the community of Suela Village and surrounding areas use the spring to irrigate their farmland. In the Hutan Lemur tourism site, there are bathing pool with very cold water and keep it flowing all the time. The water comes from the springs of Lemur Mountain, which directly connected to the child of Mount Rinjani on Sembalun Tourism Village. To enjoy the freshness of the water of Hutan Lemur's pool, you have to pass 111 stairs. Down the stairs is not exhausting for the left and right. You can see the grove of mahogany trees and dozens of other plant species. In addition to be the tourism forest and bathing spot, Hutan Lemur is also function as a campground and natural tourism. For those of you who want to visit these places, the trip to the protected Lemur Forest, it takes about 1.5 hours from the city of Mataram, the capital of West Nusa Tenggara, with a distance of 75 kilometers. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Hutan Lemur. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. In today's topic is mengirim surat, or in English, sending a letter. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice and you can repeat after me. Di kantor pos. Di kantor pos. In English, at the post office. Bantu. Bantu. In English, to help. Mengeposkan. Mengeposkan. In English, to post or to mail. Surat. Surat. In English, letter. Butuh. Butuh. In English, to need. Perangko. Perangko. In English, stamp. Mengirim surat. Mengirim surat. In English, to send a letter. Kemana. Kemana. In English, where to. Tergantung. Tergantung. In English, to depend on. Jarak. Jarak. In English, distance. Berat. Berat. In English, weight. Ditimbang. Ditimbang. In English, to be weighed. Teman. Teman. In English, friend. Tinggal. Tinggal. In English, to live. Pos tercatat. Pos tercatat. In English, registered letter. Pos kilat. Pos kilat. In English, quick mail. Pos biasa. Pos biasa. In English, regular mail. Sekarang. Sekarang. In English, now. Mengisi. Mengisi. In English, to fill in. Formulir. Formulir. In English, form. Tanda tangan. Tanda tangan. In English, to sign. Next is a conversation on a mengirim surat, or in English, sending a letter. As usual, I'll say every sentence twice, and you can repeat after me. The conversation is between Ida, A, and Anna, B, at the post office. A. Selamat pagi, Bu. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Selamat pagi, Bu. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? In English, good morning, ma'am. Can I help you? B. Saya ingin mengeposkan surat. Saya ingin mengeposkan surat. In English, I want to mail this letter. Saya butuh beberapa perangko dan sebuah amplop. Saya butuh beberapa perangko dan sebuah amplop. In English, I need some stamps and an envelope. A. Anda mau mengirimkan surat ke mana? Anda mau mengirimkan surat ke mana? In English, where are you going to send this letter to? Perangko yang dipakai tergantung jarak dan beratnya. Perangko yang dipakai tergantung jarak dan beratnya. In English, the stamp will depend on the distance and the weight on the letter. Lebih baik surat ditimbang dulu. Lebih baik surat ditimbang dulu. In English, it is better if the letter were weighed first. B.
Saya mau mengirimkan surat ini untuk teman saya. Saya mau mengirimkan surat ini untuk teman saya. In English, I want to send the letter to my friend. Dia tinggal di Beijing. Dia tinggal di Beijing. In English, he is living in Beijing. A. Anda mau mengirimkan surat ini dengan pos tercatat, pos kilat, atau pos biasa? Anda mau mengirimkan surat ini dengan pos tercatat, pos kilat, atau pos biasa? In English, do you want to send it by registered letter, quick mail, or regular one? B. Saya ingin dengan pos tercatat. Saya ingin dengan pos tercatat. In English, I want to send it by registered letter. A. Kalau begitu, sekarang silakan mengisi formulir dan tanda tangani. Kalau begitu, sekarang silakan mengisi formulir dan tanda tangani. In English, in that case, please fill in this form and sign it. B. Baiklah, terima kasih. Baiklah, terima kasih. In English, all right, thanks. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you some dangdut songs by Yusnia. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Gubuk Derita. Happy listening.
Listener, the song, lagu satu, Gubuk Derita. Listener, the song entitled Gubuk Derita was sung by Yusnia, a senior Indonesian dangdut singer. The song, which was composed by Mohtar B, tells a story about someone who was willing to live hard as long she or he comes along with her or his lover. The song presents a dangdut classic music with melancholic songs, but still enjoy to jigging. Gubuk Derita, sung by Yusnia, which was popularized in 1980s with the same title album Gubuk Derita. This album brought Yusnia and Hamdan Atete's name. Although it looks like a duet album, actually this is their solo album by relying a song entitled Gubuk Derita by Yusnia. The song Gubuk Derita skyrocketed into big hits and launched by Yusnia to the front ranks of dangdut singer at that time. Until now, many other dangdut singers such as Meggy Z, Ratna Antika, and Ine Cynthia popularized the song Gubuk Derita. It is indeed according to the version and character of each singer. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tau Sama Tau by Yusnia. Happy listening.
Thank you.
started her singing talent when she was 13 years old. She knows the dangdut from her parents who are artists. She has released many dangdut albums and currently known as one of the senior Indonesian dangdut singers in Indonesia. The song tells about the life and love story of a pair of lovers. It was composed by Mokhtar B, carries pop dangdut with a dynamic musical arrangements. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Penyakit Cinta and Habis Gelap Terbitlah Terang by Yusnia. Happy listening, sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Be. putus asa dan tak kuat lagi. Tapi aku coba bangkit lagi, karena ku tahu aku lelaki. Lelakiku, lelaki yang tak mudah menyerah, lelaki yang tidak mau pasrah dengan keadaan. Aku bangkit lagi, tersadar dan bangkit dari mati, mati hati karena disakiti, disakiti.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.